Chapter 41.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Good night, cub. Good night, littlest cub, Master Tyvaka said. He gently patted the top of Plo's head and then immediately transferred the touch to Obi-Wan. His paw was large and warm, both physically and in the Force. "Good night, Grandmaster," Obi-Wan said. With a final wave, the much larger Wookiee left to head back to his quarters. "Was tonight educational, little one?" Plo asked. His master reached up to straighten some of the hair that Master Tyvaka had ruffled into disarray. Obi-Wan grinned with just a touch of mischief. It was certainly something, Master. Particularly when he'd been substituted for a ball in the careful game of toss between Master Tyvaka's Wookiee contacts in the lower levels. Plo sent a rush of warm amusement down their bond. Good. Now go spar with John to burn off the last of your energy. Obi-Wan grinned. We won't be long. As if sensing that he was being mentioned, John sent him a brief flare of welcome in the Force. Obi-Wan returned it, and with a final wave to Plo, started his jog into the depths of the temple. While he could absolutely shadow walk, it was a nice night, and Obi-Wan cherished the opportunity to bask in the warmth and safety of the temple. This would give Obi-Wan a chance to warm up a little as well, considering John had likely been doing katas since he'd sent the initial message. If he wasn't prepared, John would flatten him. Neither of them believed in fair play in their free-for-all spars. Obi-Wan was most of the way there when his bond with John came alive in an abrupt flood of help, urgent danger. He was stepping into a shadow and out onto their sal floor before he'd even consciously decided to do so. He immediately ignited his lightsaber to full strength. John was in the middle of a fierce fight with an older woman who looked vaguely familiar. She had mostly silver hair, pulled back into a low ponytail, and wore the deep blue robes of a Jedi. The ferocity with which she struck at John was not Jedi-like in the slightest, however, nor was the way she kept sneering at him. "Foolish," she snapped. "They've corrupted you, Padawan." And with a rush, Obi-Wan understood who this was. Anya Kuro, Dark Woman, John's abusive former master. She was familiar only from the flashes of memory that John had shared with him. Obi-Wan had been waiting a long time to serve justice for all that she'd done to his friend. Briefly checking his bonds, he sent an inquiry to Plo and Mace. Both immediately sent him a sense of hurrying and what was clearly a request to wait. Assured that help was on the way, Obi-Wan ignored the second part. He threw himself into the fight. Obi-Wan caught Dark Woman's lightsaber with his own. With a mighty heave, he was able to use her surprise to redirect the strike as he settled into a firm Suresu stance. "Get away from him," Obi-Wan snapped. "Hi, Obi-Wan," John said. His friend stepped up alongside him, shoulder to shoulder. It was only by the grace of his frequent visits to the Mind Healer that he didn't immediately move forward to shield John behind him. "Hello, John," Obi-Wan said. He kept his gaze firmly on the older woman in front of them. "Decided to get into trouble without me." "Who are you?" Dark Woman sneered. "Padawan Obi-Wan Kenobi, at your service." He would have bowed to sell the mock politeness further, but he valued keeping his head attached to his shoulders. "And you would be the scum that we rescued John from, then." "Rescued?" Dark Woman laughed. "Did he tell you that you rescued him?" Obi-Wan shrugged. "He didn't need to tell us a thing, really. You've certainly left your mark." He sent a flutter of apology down his bond with John, reluctant to speak so callously of his friend's scars. John dismissed it quickly. They were both aware that he was stalling, even if Dark Woman wasn't. "I raised a Padawan and taught him to be a true Jedi. I did what was necessary." "No," Obi-Wan said slowly. He infused as much condescension into his tone as possible. "What you did was abuse a child." Dark Woman growled, and the battle began anew. She was an excellent combatant, fast and far more skilled than either John or Obi-Wan had any hope of being. Their only advantage was the number of shadows in the room and the fact that they could cover each other's backs. John took to liberally tossing him with the Force into a shadow when Dark Woman's strikes came too close. Obi-Wan preferred stepping in front of his friend in a Ceresu stance, a wall that she couldn't yet break through. As the fight continued, so too did her commentary. "I suppose the Padawan learned his Ceresu and Ataru from you, then. It's clear why he isn't more improved." The only response Obi-Wan gave her, again and again, was, "His name is John, not Padawan." But the two of them were tiring. At the end of the day, they were Padawans, not knights or masters. Their stamina only stretched so far. John took an injury first, a cut above his eyebrow. It dripped blood into his eye for the brief moment that it took for him to flash heal it. Obi-Wan dodged slightly too slowly and grit his teeth through the momentary agony of healing a lightsaber sear. It had been months since they'd needed to heal like this mid-fight, but he could never forget the pain of it. A series of blindingly fast strikes from Dark Woman had Obi-Wan quickly falling into a shadow before he could lose a hand. They weren't without some victories. John managed to make her stumble briefly with some clever use of nearby rubble. Obi-Wan seared the end of her robe when he executed a quick set of shadow walks, but they were outclassed. "Duck," came a calm voice from the doorway. Obi-Wan and John dropped to the floor without hesitation. Bright green lightning crackled over their heads, arching towards Dark Woman with hair-raising power. She cursed and barely managed to roll out of the way of most of it. "Get away from my Padawan," both Mace and Plo snapped, eerily in sync. They stepped quickly into the sal, bracketing Obi-Wan and John with purple and green sabers. Obi-Wan couldn't help his sigh of relief. "Which of you is the Padawan's new master?" Dark Woman demanded. She was as far away as she could reasonably get, blade raised defensively. "That would be me," Mace said. He sounded dangerous, angry, in a way that Obi-Wan had never really heard before. Although the tone should have scared him, thrown him back into memories, it only made him feel safe. The masters wouldn't let anything happen to them. "You've ruined the boy, made him weak, after all the work I put into him," Dark Woman snapped. She sounded half-crazed. "John is the furthest thing from weak," Mace fired back. "He is strong, not because of you, but in spite of you. John is a precious gift of a Padawan that you were foolish enough to throw away." Dark Woman laughed. It was clear she didn't believe a word out of his mouth. "Last chance, Padawan. Come with me now, or live your life as a pathetic Republic dog." Obi-Wan watched as John stood. He stared her down, fierce in a way that Obi-Wan never could have imagined at the start of their friendship. John only stood taller when Mace put a hand on his shoulder in support. "Better a Republic dog than your pet. I'm a person, and my place is here." Dark Woman shook her head, face returning to a placid mask. She extinguished her saber. "So be it, you idiotic child." And just like that, she turned to go. Obi-Wan's mind was spinning, whirling at the speed of events. Were they just going to let her get away? He became aware that he was trembling, just slightly. As soon as her back turned, John's knees silently gave out. Mace followed him down, but called after her nonetheless. "You are no longer considered a Jedi by any temple, Anya Kuro. From this moment forward, you will be considered a rogue Force user and be dealt with accordingly," Mace said. Dark Woman's stride stuttered for just a second. She didn't turn back, and in a moment, she was into a shadow and gone. John's head was spinning. His heart pounded so hard and fast that it was a miracle it hadn't fallen out of his chest. Dark Woman turned away, and his knees gave out. He'd stood up to her. John had insulted her, called her by name, rejected her. He waited expectantly for the pain of her correction, but it never came. Over the roaring in his ears, he barely heard Mace's parting shot, and then she was gone. John stared blankly straight ahead. It was a closing of a chapter, in a way that Master Mundi's rescue never had been. Despite everyone's assurances, John had lived with the knowledge that Dark Woman, inevitably, would come back. It was like he'd yelled at Mace all those months ago. Even with everything, Dark Woman had never abandoned him forever. He'd been living with the certainty of her return. And now that she'd come and gone and he still got to live safe and happy in the temple, John felt unmoored. He came back to himself in increments. Mace knelt in front of him. His hand was cradling John's face, incredibly gentle. The world around his face was blurry, but Mace was a fixed point. John could see his lips moving. Eventually, the movement resolved into words. "You breaths, I have you, John. You're safe here, she's gone. I need you to breathe with me." Mace's voice was low and unhurried. John grew aware of Mace's other hand pressing John's up against his master's chest. He could feel the slow rise and fall of Mace's breath. He tried, fumbling at first, to match his own to the pattern. Their bond was alive in his mind, an anchor that John braced himself against. "You're doing so well, John," Mace said. "Keep breathing just like that." Then his master sent him a wave of pride, affection, concern, and John couldn't take it. He lunged forward into Mace's chest, ducking his head under his master's chin. John could feel Mace's shock before arms carefully wrapped around him. They held him tightly, but not in a way that felt restrictive. Mace's embrace was warm and secure and safe. His master's hand came up to rest on the back of his head, carding through his hair once before laying still. John's own arms unfroze so that he could wrap them around Mace and fist tightly to the back of his robes. He started to cry, just a little. It was a mix of heady relief, fading adrenaline, and the dissolution of a terror he'd held close to his chest for so long. Mace held him through it. Their hug, their first hug, stretched onward into eternity. At some point, a new hand started to rub circles on his back. John didn't have to look to know it was Obi-Wan. "I'm so proud of you, John," Mace said. His chest rumbled pleasantly against John's forehead. "You did so well." John only burrowed in closer. When the shaking and the tears finally subsided, John was overcome by a wave of exhaustion. He let more and more of his weight lean against Mace's chest. "I think he's falling asleep," Obi-Wan whispered. "That's all right, I have him." Warm and secure, John let himself drift. The last thing he was conscious of was Mace tightening his embrace. End of chapter 41.